You cops? The office guy asked, looking out at the car.
I need to see your register, Reacher said.
For tonight's guests. It was impossible. Totally impossible. She wasn't outside, she wasn't inside. He ran his eyes over the room again. The beds, the furniture, the closet. Nothing doing. She wasn't in the bathroom because he had been in the bathroom. Unless she had been under the bed or in the closet and then had ducked into the bathroom while he was outside. He stepped over and opened the bathroom door, smiled at himself in the mirror. The mist had cleared off it. He pulled back the shower curtain in one dramatic, sweeping move. There you are, he said. She was pressed up into the corner of the tub, standing straight, wearing a t-shirt and shorts and shoes. The back of her right hand was jammed in her mouth. Her eyes were wide open. They were dark and huge. It changed my mind, he said. I was going to take you with me. She said nothing, just watched him. He reached out to her. She shrank back, took the hand away from her mouth.
It hasn't been 4 hours, she said.
Yes, sir, there has, he said. Way more than four. She put her knuckles back in her mouth. He reached out again. She shrank away. What had her mommy told her to do? If you're worried about something, just scream and scream. She took a deep breath and tried, but no sound would come out. Her throat was too dry.
The register, Reacher said again.
The office guy hesitated, like there were procedures involved.
Reacher checked his watch and pulled the heckler and Koch from his pocket, all in one simple movement. Right now, he said. We don't have time to mess around.
The guy's eyes went wide, and he ducked around the counter and reversed the big leather ledger, pushed it toward the near edge. Reacher and Alice crowded together to look at it.
What names?
She asked. No idea, just look at the cars. There were 5 columns to a page. Date, name, home address, vehicle make, date of departure. There were 20 lines for 20 cabins. 16 were occupied. 7 of them had arrows originating on the previous page, indicating guests who were staying the second or subsequent night. 9 cabins held new arrivals. 11 cabins had a vehicle make entered directly against them. 4 cabins were marked in 2 pairs of 2, each sharing a vehicle.
Families, the night clerk said, or large parties.
Did you check them in? Reacher asked. The guy shook his head.
I'm the night man. I'm not here until midnight.
Reacher stared at the page, went very still, looked away.
What?
This isn't the right place.
This is the wrong place. I blew it.
Why?
Look at the cars, he said. He ran the gun muzzle down the 4th column. 3 Chevrolets, 3 Hondas, 2 Toyotas, 2 Buicks, 1 Saab, 1 Audi, and 1 Ford.
Should be 2 Fords, he said.
They're Crown Vic and the Explorer that's already parked out there.
Shit,
she said. He nodded.
Shit.
He went completely blank. If this wasn't the right place, he had absolutely no idea what was. He had staked everything on it. He had no plan B. He glanced at the register. Ford. Pictured the old Explorer sitting out there, square and dull. Then he glanced back at the register again.
The handwriting was all the same.
Who fills this out? He asked.
The owner, the clerk said. She does everything the old-fashioned way.
He closed his eyes, retraced in his mind Alice's slow circle around the lot, thought back to all the old-fashioned motels he had used in his life.
Okay, he said.
The guest tells her the name and the address. She writes it down. Then maybe she just glances out of the window and writes down the vehicle make for herself. Maybe if the guests are talking or busy getting their money out.
Maybe. I'm the night man. I'm never here for that.
She's not really into automobiles, is she?
I wouldn't know.
Why? Because there are 3 Chevrolets in the book and only 2 in the lot. I think she put the Explorer down as a Chevy. It's an old model, kind of angular. Maybe she confused it with an old model Blazer or something. He touched the gun muzzle to the word Ford. That's the Crown Vic, he said. That's them.
You think?
Alice said. I know. I can feel it. They had taken two rooms, not adjacent, but in the same wing, rooms 5 and 8. Okay, he said again. I'm going to take a look. He pointed to the night guy. You, stay here and keep quiet. Then he pointed to Alice. You call the state police and start doing your thing with the federal judge, okay?
You need a key?
The night clerk asked. No, Reacher said. I don't need a key. Then he walked out into the damp warmth of the night. The right-hand row of cabins started with number 1. There was a concrete walkway leading past each door. He moved quickly and quietly along it, and his shoes left damp prints all the way. There was nothing to see except doors. They came at regular intervals. No windows. The windows would be at the back. These were standard-issue motel rooms, like he had seen a million times before, no doubt about it. Standard layout, with a door, a short hallway, closet on one side and the bathroom on the other, the hallway opening out into a room occupying the full width of the unit. 2 beds, 2 chairs, a table, a credenza, air conditioner under the window, pastel pictures on the wall. Cabin number 5 had a Do Not Disturb tag lying on the concrete a foot from the doorway. He stepped over it. If you've got a stolen kid, you keep her in the room farthest from the office. No brainer. He walked on and stopped outside number 8, put his ear to the crack of the door and listened. Heard nothing. He walked silently on, past number 9, past 10, to the end of the row. Walked around the bend of the U. The 2 cabin blocks were parallel, facing each other across a 30-foot-wide rectangle of garden. It was desert horticulture, with low, spiky plants growing out of raked gravel and crushed stone. There were small yellow lanterns here and there, large rocks and boulders carefully placed, a Japanese effect. The crushed stone was noisy under his feet. He had to walk slow. He passed by 10's window, then 9's, then crouched low and eased against the wall, crawled forward, and positioned himself directly under 8's windowsill. The air conditioner was running loud. He couldn't hear anything over it. He raised his head slowly and carefully, looked into the room. Nothing doing. The room was completely empty. It was completely undisturbed. It might never have been occupied. It was just sitting there, still and sterile, cleaned and readied, the way motel rooms are. He felt a flash of panic. Maybe they made multiple bookings all over the place. 2 or 3 similar places to give themselves a choice. 30 or 40 bucks a night, why not? He stood up straight, stopped worrying about the noise from the gravel, ran past 7 and 6 straight to 5's window, put himself right in front of it and looked in, and saw a small, dark man wearing 2 white towels dragging Ellie out of the bathroom. Bright light was spilling out behind him. He had both her wrists caught in 1 hand above her head. She was kicking and bucking violently in his grip. Reacher stared in for maybe a quarter of a second, long enough to sense the layout of the room and see a black 9mm handgun with a silencer lying on the credenza. Then he took a breath and 1 long, fluid step away and bent down and picked up a rock from the garden. It was bigger than a basketball and could have weighed 100 pounds. He heaved it straight through the window. The screen disintegrated and glass shattered, and he followed it headfirst into the room with the window frame caught around his shoulders like a wreath of victory. The small dark man froze in shock for a split second, and then let Ellie go and turned and scrabbled desperately toward the credenza. Reacher batted away the splintered frame and got there first, and caught him by the throat with his right hand and jammed him back against the wall, and followed up with a colossal left to the gut and let him fall, and kicked him once in the head. Very hard. Saw his eyes roll up into his skull. Then he breathed in and out like a train, and gasped, and shuffled his feet and flexed his hands, and fought the temptation to kick him to death. Then he turned to Ellie. You okay? He asked. She nodded, paused in the sudden silence.
He's a bad man. I think he was going to shoot me.
He paused in turn, fought to control his breathing. You can't do that now.
There was thunder and lightning.
I heard it, too. I was outside. Got all wet. She nodded.
It rained a whole lot.
You okay? He asked for the second time.
She just thought about it and nodded. She was very composed, very serious. No tears, no screaming. The room went absolutely quiet. The action had lasted all of 3 seconds, beginning to end. It was like it hadn't happened at all. But the rock from the garden was lying there in the middle of the floor, nested in shards of broken glass. He picked it up and carried it to the shattered window and tipped it through. It crunched on the gravel and rolled away.
"You okay?"
he asked for the third time. Ellie nodded. He picked up the phone and dialed 0. The night guy answered. Reacher told him to send Alice down to room 5. Then he walked over and unlatched the chain and unlocked the door. Left it propped open. It set up a breeze all the way through the room to the broken window. The outside air was damp and warm, warmer than the inside air.
"You okay?"
he asked for the 4th time.
"Yes,"
Ellie said.
"I'm okay."
Alice stepped inside a minute later. Ellie looked at her curiously.
"This is Alice,"
Reacher said. "She's helping your mom."
"Where is my mom?" "She'll be with you soon,"
Alice said. Then she turned and looked down at the small, dark guy. He was inert on the floor, pressed up against the wall, arms and legs tangled.
"Is he alive?"
she whispered. Reacher nodded. "Concussed is all, I think. I hope."
"State police are responding,"
she whispered.
"And I called my boss at home, got him out of bed. He's setting up a chambers meeting with the judge first thing. But he says we'll need a straightforward confession from this guy if we want to avoid a big delay."
Reacher nodded. "We'll get one." He bent down and twisted one of the small dark man's towels tight around his neck like a noose and used it to drag him across the floor and into the bathroom. 20 minutes later, he came out again and found 2 state cops standing in the room, a sergeant and a trooper, both Hispanic, both composed and immaculate in their tan uniforms. He could hear their car idling outside the door. He nodded to them and walked over and picked up the driver's clothes from the chair, tossed them back into the bathroom.
"So?"
the sergeant said. "He's ready to talk," Reacher said. "He's offering a full and voluntary confession, but he wants you to understand he was just a driver."
"He wasn't a shooter?"
Reacher shook his head. "But he saw everything."
"What about the kidnap?"
"He wasn't there. He was guarding her afterward is all. And there's a lot of other stuff, too, going back a number of years."
"Situation like this, he talks. He's going away for a long time."
"He knows that. He accepts it. He's happy about it. He's looking for redemption." The cops just glanced at each other and went into the bathroom. Reacher heard people shuffling and moving around and handcuffs clicking.
"I have to get back," Alice said. "I have to prepare the writ. A lot of work involved with habeas corpus."
"Take the Crown Vic," Reacher said. "I'll wait here with Ellie." The cops brought the driver out of the bathroom. He was dressed and his hands were cuffed behind him, and each cop had hold of an elbow. He was bent over and white with pain and already talking fast. The cops hustled him straight out to their cruiser, and the room door swung shut behind them. There was the muffled sound of car doors slamming and the growl of an engine.
"What did you do to him?"
Alice whispered. Reacher shrugged. "I'm a hard man, like you said." He asked her to send the night clerk down with a master key, and she walked away toward the office. He turned to Ellie. "You okay?" he said.
"You don't need to keep asking me,"
she replied. "Tired?"
"Yes."
"Your mom will come soon. We'll wait for her right here. But let's change rooms, shall we? This one's got a broken window." She giggled.
"You broke it with that rock."
He heard the Crown Vic start up in the distance, heard its tires on the road. "Let's try room 8, he said. "It's nice and clean. Nobody's been in it. It can be ours." She took his hand and they walked out together and along the concrete walkway to number 8. A dozen steps for him, 3 dozen for her. Damp, filmy tracks left in the wet behind both of them. The clerk met them with a passkey and Ellie got straight into the bed nearest the window. Reacher lay down on the other
and watched her until she was sound asleep. Then he wrapped his arm under his head and tried to doze.